Now, broadcasting on Radio Star Worldwide, it's time for Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Let's tap into your own authentic genius and live the life you desire. Join Dr. Rademacher for an enlightened conversation about our brain intelligence, our body intelligence, and our energy intelligence. And now, here's your host, Dr. Bart Rademacher.
Well, welcome. This is Dr. Bart Rademacher, prescription for your transformation. Hashtag real people, hashtag real conversations. And fortunately, today I get to see this amazing woman right in front of me on video. You guys don't get to see her, but it's such a delight. Welcome again. It's just you and me today.
Oh, we're going to have fun.
Yeah, totally fun. And I've been promising to talk about a certain thing for a while and just haven't gotten around to it. And so today is about regenerative medicine. It is about stem cells. It's all about that cool stuff.
Oh.
And so and I want you to chime in. You know, it's true, though. I do like to have, you know, people that I can interview. And what was so much fun, you know, with Blab is that, you know, we get to have that in the live streaming stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just sad we don't have that anymore. And so I'm really hoping that something will come up because it's going to allow more people to participate into what I'm calling this intelligent platform, the platform where we get to share new insights, new voices, new people, so that people searching for new information can actually find it here. And so that we have this wide array of information that just is delightful because, you know, many of the radio shows and many other platforms, they're so restrictive, they're so just narrow-minded, which some people tell me, you know, that's what I probably should do, but that's not who I am. You know, being the plastic surgeon, being the professional life coach, being the energy healer, being into wellness, and being into stem cells, you know, all these things, there's so much information out there that I just am eager to start networking people together so that so anybody who wants to make any kind of change in their life, you know, gets to do that. Because, you know, if you go to a doctor, right, you know, you just go to one specialist. But really, your whole body needs a lot of work in all areas. So you want to go to multiple doctors, in a sense, to be well. So it's the same thing with life. And same thing with you. I'm sure, you know, with your modeling and stuff like that. I mean, you just don't want one style of photography. You want multiple styles of photography because if I remember correctly, you had, 50 different personalities? And
yeah, different styles and genres that I can pull off accurately. Yeah.
Yeah, life is otherwise way too boring, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. And that's why you never just do photography with just one camera person or one photographer, because they have their certain styles that they're really good at, and it's really hard to get them to get out of their styles. So yeah, I have a lot and I have fun. It's just wonderful. I love being creative.
So getting off topic for a second, because I do really like you being part of this and get to know you more, and the audience gets to know you more as well. But what's your favorite theme or genre that you like to do in your photography?
You know what? I love doing like the really soft natural light. Mm-hmm. So I usually do like, you know, evening wear or like a teddy or a nightie, but using natural light, it is very soft, very sensual, and just very beautiful. And because you're using natural light, you get a softness about you. And it's just, yeah, it's when you have the flashing lights or the flashes, mm-hmm. It makes things a little bit harsh. And so I like the little bit of the softer look.
So is that like inside or outside?
Inside.
Inside, okay.
Yeah.
Because you have such incredible nature down there in Arizona. I'm sure there's beautiful backdrops.
Oh, my gosh. I've done lots of location shoots where we're out in the middle of Sedona, surrounded by the red rocks and the mountains, and it's intense. It's gorgeous. But there's a lot of hiking to get to the right spot.
Well, nobody said that modeling wasn't hard work, right?
Exactly.
So getting back on topic, and really the show is about, you know, tapping into that intelligence, tapping into your own genius, living the life that you desire, but really tapping into the intelligences around you, which is the brain intelligence, the body intelligence, as well as the energy intelligence. And it's always about, you know, what you don't know that you don't know, because that's the magic. That's the thing that's going to make the changes in your life. And so one thing that's really exciting for me is what we call regenerative medicine. And you know, being in the world of personal transformation, you know, starting off as a plastic surgeon, it's really exciting to find a way to do things as naturally and organically as possible. Interesting enough, as a surgeon, I'm the first guy that says, let's not do surgery. You know, and so people look at me like cross-eyed, you know, coming to me because I'm a plastic surgeon, and I'm telling them, well, let's try something different. And so sometimes patients are a little upset with that because they want that instant gratification. They want the results right now. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily really natural. And so my philosophy has always been, you know, harnessing the potential of the body to restore form and function. Now, obviously, if you want, you know, breast augmentation, then, you know, truly, I mean, you really need to get breast implants. You know, we can do fat transfers for things like that, but it's not as great. But when, you know, people come in for liposuction, stuff like that, then it's sort of like, okay, great. What else can we do instead? So it's really harnessing the potential of the body and being healthy, using the right kinds of supplements, eating the right kind of, you know, foods, doing the right kind of lifestyles, which lifestyle just doesn't include, you know, working out, but it's also meditation, it's mindset. And that's what I like about you so much. I mean, you've got such a beautiful light mindset, you know, and that's going to help with your youth forever.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. But, you know, and also another thing, yeah, you should relax, you should meditate, but also find an exercise that really invigorates you. Like, I go boxing. I love boxing. But at the same time, I could spend an hour on the elliptical, but I'd rather be boxing. It's so much more fun.
You know, my guessing is that you've got like a sign outside of the door that I'm a boxer. It just kind of, you know, freaks out, you know, any guy that might want to chase you or something.
Well, I keep my boxing gloves in my car. So like if I ever go anywhere and, you know, get my oil changed or whatever, they're like, oh, they'll look in the car like, oh, pink boxing gloves. How you doing, Wendy? They remember it. They know me because my boxing gloves. I always have them with me.
Well, that's good. So, but getting back to the real talk today, and that's stem cells. And it's very, very exciting. And over the last 20, 30 years, there's been extensive research about stem cells. And what's interesting, there's been a lot of controversy about it as to the ethics about stem cells and everything else. But again, you know, we could have that conversation about practically anything that happens in our life. I mean, look at all the advanced technologies and everything else. You know, anybody's going to come up with some sort of argument. But what's great now about the stem cells for today, and so there really isn't an issue, is that we can actually get access to your own stem cells. So it's not derived from any kind of animal or any other kind of source. You can just get it from your own fat, if you will, or your own bone marrow. And so that's what's really exciting. Now, what's true, though, now that stem cells has become very, very trendy in the United States and worldwide, it's now like almost everybody is jumping on that bandwagon. Everybody wants to be part of this, and everybody wants to, you know, dig into that gold mine. And some people are getting gold and some people aren't, but some people are not getting the right gold in a sense because they're not doing the right thing. And that's what's, you know, concerning today about this whole sort of, you know, Wild West show, if you will, of stem cell therapy in the United States and worldwide. Because just to describe some of the bad things, you know what? I'm going to talk about the bad things later on. Let's talk about the good things, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this first, though. What do you know about stem cells? Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I know. I have a niece. She's now 10 years old, but she has cerebral palsy. And I know my sister wanted to have her be a candidate for stem cell research to see if they could do something to help generate the use of her legs. She's in a wheelchair. She has a walker, but she'll never be able to walk on her own. So she was hoping that she could be a candidate and just have them try anything to get her to feel more comfortable and to walk like our sisters do.
Oh, that's awesome. Has she had any luck yet or not?
No, not yet. Not yet. So
she hasn't found a place where she can go. Is that it? Or
that I don't know. I know she tried for years, and I don't know if she gave up or if she's just like, you know what, this is going to be your life, or I don't know. It's frustrating. You know, it's hard to find people.
Well, you're looking at one right now.
Well, awesome.
Yeah, have her connect with me. And then anybody listening, by the way, if you're listening in and want more information about stem cell therapy, just go to my website, which is www.drrademacher.com, and it's spelled drrademacher.com. And then there's a link there that goes to the stem cell therapy, and there's tons of information on it so that you can discover what it is, and then you can always contact me through my website. I'd be happy to do a free consultation by phone as far as what stem cell therapy is. So stem cell therapy is the future. And it's really very, very exciting, because when you think about stem cells, is simply this, you know, when a woman gets impregnated, the sperm connects with the egg, and then very, very quickly, within 4 or 5 days, then we get all these embryonic stem cells. Now, the embryonic stem cells then are cells that basically create the whole body, the entire body. And so once a baby is ready to be delivered, ready to be born, the baby is born with what we call adult stem cells. And these adult stem cells are not the same as the embryonic stem cells, but the adult stem cells have incredible abilities to do a lot of changes within the body. And that's what's very, very exciting, because the best reference that I can make with stem cells or adult stem cells in the body, it's almost like they're their own hospital system. So when a stem cell recognizes any disturbance, any irregularity in the body, it can fix it. It can recover, it can fix it, it can regenerate it, and so the body can be healed. And that's what's exciting about these stem cells. So said differently, is that if there is an irregularity in the body and the stem cell goes towards it, it can totally take care of that. And so if we have this capability to fix what's wrong in our body, then why not use that? And so the process today is simply that we harvest the stem cells from the body, mm-hmm. and we inject them in the spots, you know, where we actually have that problem. sorry. So just to give an idea about this, is that I guess the best way to kind of consider the whole issue in general is what we call the cycle of disease. So understanding what our medical problems are is paramount to being able to understand, you know, where the stem cells can work. And so when you look at any kind of medical problem, whether it's heart disease, or whether it's, say, Alzheimer's, or whether it's MS, or quite frankly, whether it's cerebral palsy, like your family member, mm-hmm. is that one of these six things are happening. Either it's a poor blood supply, it's scar formation, it's premature cell death, it's tissue degeneration, inflammation, or an immune response. So said again, if the blood supply is restricted, it's less, there's scar formation, there's collagen made, you know, cells are dying, tissues are degenerating, inflammation, just like, you know, sometimes probably when you box and you hit somebody in the face and they get a bruise and they get inflamed, right? Mm-hmm.
they should have had their guard up.
Yeah, really. or the immune response where, you know, people have allergies, as an example. So these are pretty much, in general, all the medical conditions that we deal with. And so what's then exciting is that stem cells, they can address each of these different elements. So number one, stem cells can increase blood flow. They increase blood flow by also increasing the number of capillaries and blood vessels in the area, which is huge. And so if you can think, you know, most medical conditions actually have a reduced blood flow. And so right then and there, you know, the stem cells are helping you. In most instances, there's inflammation. Whenever we have disease or any medical condition, oftentimes or usually there's some sort of inflammation. So stem cells are able to affect that, they're able to reduce that. Oftentimes we use things like steroids or use, you know, products like Advil or aspirin, or naproxen to reduce inflammation, which is okay, but the problem is that using drugs also has a side effect. And so what's neat about using your own stem cells, you don't have those side effects anymore. You don't have those secondary effects of drugs on your body. And the way that I look at it on my own platform in all things that I do is that I see the doctor of the future not using drugs anymore and not doing surgery, but really tapping into the three intelligences I talk about. And so the stem cells in this term, you know, reduces that inflammation, because inflammation in part is a protective mechanism of the body to you know, restore it, but also can get out of control and causes more problems. And oftentimes, a lot of the conditions that we have in the body, as we're understanding more and more about how nutrition affects us and how microorganisms affect us, that our body is in a state of inflammation, that in that state of inflammation, it also then limits our functionality. So the function, so we get all these aches and pains and everything else. And so stem cells reduce the inflammation. Now, when we talk about the allergic responses, that's part of the immune response. And that's just the body's ability to protect itself in a different way. And but sometimes they get out of control. So the immune response can be a problem. And some diseases, possibly even including things like MS or Alzheimer's or all these other ones, they could definitely have a immune part to it. And again, the stem cells can modulate it. But what's also interesting is this, and this is a key component to understand the difference between using your own stem cell and using, medications or drugs, is that when you look at any kind of particular medication or drug, it really has what I call a single point entry. It just affects one thing. So maybe just affects one part of the cell, one part of the tissue, or one receptor, for example. But when you look at stem cells, they have a multitude of different approaches to take care of the problem. So it's not a single point entry, but it's a multidimensional point of entry, so that it really is taking care of all the issues and all the problems. It's sort of like, you know, you can't just survive on one type of food. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just survive on just carrots, for example, right? You have to have a variety of foods. Same thing with the stem cells. It has a variety of different approaches to take care of all the problems. And so that's also particularly important in that immune response. And so then the other ones are the scarring, mm-hmm. premature cell death, and loss of tissue. And so what's great about these stem cells is that they can generate new types of cells. So all over the body. So for example, if you've lost cartilage, these stem cells can create new cartilage. And if you lost your blood vessels, and you create new blood vessels. If you have scar tissue, then the stem cells create new cells to replace the scar tissue. Huh. So it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and actually I was also thinking about the difference between using stem cells versus using a medication. Because with medication, you get negative side effects from time to time. So when you use the stem cells, is there any negative side effects from that, since it comes from your own body?
No, none whatsoever. And because this is what's so nice about the stem cells and what we are beginning to understand. And truthfully, there's a lot that we don't understand about stem cells. But because of their origin and their nature, it makes a lot of sense just to start using them and applying them. Mm-hmm. Because as far as the safety factor, I mean, it's got a very high safety profile. It's clear it's your own tissue, it's your own cells, and we're just putting them back in your body. And, it's the cells are responding to the environment that let's call it a sick environment. Mm-hmm. And just like, you know, when you're sick, you do take medications, or say you have an infection, you take medications. Well, now with the stem cells, it can also take care of infections. We don't have a lot of sort of scientific data based to show us how effective they are with infections, because that's a whole different situation. But I can imagine that using stem cells would be highly effective against any kind of infection.
So do you think stem cells could eventually fix things that are not reversible, like people who have HIV? Do you think that stem cells research would be able to cure HIV?
Probably, yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
But I thought we already had a cure for HIV, didn't we? Don't we?
If we do, I don't know about it. Okay. I don't stay current on that. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, neither. But here's what's interesting, again, about any kind of medical condition. And that's why it's so important not just to look at, you know, one dimension of our own well-being, but multiple dimensions. And I think, you know, how we, you know, our own brain intelligence, if you will, our own energy intelligence, and our body intelligence all will collaborate together, because some people who get infected with something never get sick. And some people who aren't even getting infected, they get sick. And so it's really interesting how that dynamic totally works together. So it's not just one solution that takes care of one thing. So in that particular example, I'm sure that a multiple approach would make a lot of sense. I mean, there's all these cases, incredible cases of people that basically had their death sentence because they have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
There's one great book, I think it's the 21 Laws, Irrefutable Laws of Wellness. And here's a fellow that I believe had lung cancer, and he's told he's going to live just for another month or two. Well, 20 years later, he's still kicking and living because he decided that he wasn't going to die. He decided he was going to live. He decided that he was going to do all the right things, totally changed his life. He's probably a vegetarian, which is probably the best way to be anyhow. Not that I'm a vegetarian. But
I like my steak.
Well, what's really interesting is that I was inspired by my son, my oldest son, Brent, when he was just 8 years old. It was really interesting because one day he just simply decided, you know what, Dad, I'm not eating any meat anymore. I'm just going to be a vegetarian. 8 years old.
Wow. You know?
And so I thought that was really cool. And so that inspired me then just to totally give up meat. And I gave up meat for about 2 years. And I felt good. I mean, I'm telling you, the just consuming the energy of nature, right, in a natural form is probably the best thing you can do for your body. A lot of people talk about you don't get enough protein, all this kind of nonsense. But no, you can just fine-tune it so that you do it correctly. I'm no expert at it. But what's interesting in my particular case is that from time to time, I'm just not liking meat. It just kind of gives me, you know, an interesting feeling. Let me put it that way. So my body, I listen to my body. My body's telling me something that, and ultimately I will be a vegetarian. Einstein was a vegetarian. Henry Ford was a vegetarian.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, they're amazing people that are just, you know, vegetarians. So. And then you have these gorillas, right? These big, huge animals.
Mm-hmm.
Throw a 200-pound man across the street. They're vegetarian too. They don't eat meat.
That's true. I know. I like fish. That would be. Can you be a vegetarian but still once in a while cheat and have fish?
You can do anything you want. But have you ever thought? I know we're getting off topic, but I always think about these things. You know, if you just imagine, you know, your favorite restaurant, right? Do you have one close by you?
Trying to remember the last time I went to a restaurant. It's been a long time.
Oh, that's
oh my gosh. I like to cook
at
home.
More dates. Come on now.
I know. I'm so lame. I work all the time.
Oh, next time I come to town, we'll go to a good restaurant. But think about it for a moment. I mean, in any given city, there's tons of restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
In any given city, they're serving tons of fish, you know, tons of lobster, tons of crab, tons of conch meat. Well, meat's different. You kind of wonder, you know, is that supply ever going to dry up?
I would think they would farm them out, right? If you get to, like, certain businesses would farm their own fish, so they're in charge of that population, maybe?
I don't know. So I'm just thinking, I mean, wouldn't it be just a good idea just to start consuming less? Because here's the other truth, is that the ratio? It's 10 to 1. There's 10 to 1 more produce available. You can feed 10 to 1 more people if you just was more vegetarian than relying on meat. Do you know that?
I did not realize that.
Yeah, it's something like that. For the amount of acres that you need for meat versus, you know, vegetables and fruits,
mm-hmm.
10 to 1. So we could feed a lot more people if we focus more on growing than having, you know, cattle and pigs and all that stuff.
Well, that makes sense. And I'm sure it's safer for the environment, per se, to have more plants than cows, because Cows, you made a weird guess. Because they're not fed what they're supposed to be fed.
Yeah. And actually, you know, with planting, you can also go vertical. It's a lot easier to go vertical than with animals.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
We digress again. So stem cells. So how does it actually work? So with the stem cells is that, again, there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of people doing a lot of different things. And so anybody who is really interested in stem cells has to be really careful and has to do a lot of good research. And so I also recommend anybody listening in just to go to the website, drrademacher.com. It's drrademacher.com. Because I'm very fortunate. I work with what I believe is the best company in the world. And they're just beginning, but they have this global vision of what they want to do worldwide and to be the world leader, the global leader in stem cell therapy, because they're investing all the money and all the best technology, you know, all the best intelligence, if you will, so that they can deliver the best product. But a lot of people out there, they're single entities, doctors all over the world, you know, just their little rinky-dink office, maybe a bigger operation, but not necessarily, you know, with the best funding to get the best technology. And it's not regulated. And that's the problem here in the United States. It's not being regulated. And so a lot of the claims out there, you've got to be really careful what you listen to. And so here's the bottom line. And I can say this with you know, confidence, if you will, because the company I get to work with doesn't have to limit themselves. They don't have to settle with you know, mediocre technology. We have access to the best technology. So the way it really works is this, is that you can get your stem cells either from bone marrow or you can get it from your own fat. So a lot of people are claiming that bone marrow is best, it's the best place, it's the best usage. But the problem with the bone marrow is that, number one, it's very painful to get access to.
How do you get access to bone marrow, to your own bone marrow?
You drill holes. You drill holes and suck out the marrow. It's very, very painful. Okay. And you know, you can see Wendy right now. She's
That made me squirm.
Yeah, she's sweating right now. She's about to run away. She doesn't want to hear this. No, it's painful and it's not fun. But what's worse though is that you only get a limited supply. So what we've discovered is that fat has a lot of stem cells within it, and from a ratio 2,500 times more than in bone. And the stem cells, what they do is they surround all what we call perivascular. So they're around the vascular supply of fat. And so the key is, you know, how do we get it out? So we suck out the fat, and then we centrifuge it, and with certain kind of enzymes, we separate the fat cells from the stem cells themselves. But what's interesting is that when we do get the stem cells from the fat, we get a lot more than just the stem cells. And that's why we call it adipose-derived regenerative cells. So we get more types of cells with all sorts of benefits and all sorts of different factors that we will help, you know, with the restoration of function. Whereas with bone marrow, you don't have all those types of cells. You don't have all those different types of regenerative cells and factors that will benefit, you know, the therapeutic process. In addition, because there's 2,500 times more stem cells in fat than in bone, oftentimes when they harvest the bone, they really have to put them aside and they have to culture them. And what that means is that they grow more stem cells. And that can take up anywhere between 3 to 4 weeks. You have a question?
Okay. So if it's so much easier to, or less painful, I should say, to use your fat cells, then why are people using the cells from the bone marrow if the other one just sounds less painful and more information? I'm confused there. I'm sorry.
No, and that's a great question. And honestly, I don't know if I have a really good answer, except for the fact that people are trained in a certain way and they do certain ways, you know, the way that they know how to do them. And sometimes they're orthopedic surgeons who take out the cells and do it that way. And it's also in part, I guess, some of the regulations that are happening in the U.S. and other countries is what we can do, what we can't do. But it's also, you know, part of what people believe. You know, some people believe that the bone marrow cells are the best and they're going to want to use them. You know, and with all of our research and review of scientific data, you know, our opinion is that, you know, adipose-derived regenerative cells is far superior than bone. And there is a lot of scientific data that supports that.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Sorry. So if you use the bone marrow, you have to drill into the bone.
Right.
Well, does the bone heal itself back up so the hole's not there anymore?
Yeah,
for lack of a better way of asking.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We've been doing bone marrow aspirations for a long time. In fact, you know, many of the leukemias and blood disorders mm-hmm. were being treated by bone marrow transplants. And so, you know, that's another reason why people like to use bone marrow, because we got a lot of, you know, medical experience using bone marrow over the last 20 years to help people with bone marrow, blood dyscrasias, blood disorders.
Another question. What part of the skeleton do they get the bone marrow from?
From your hip. You get it from your hip.
The hip? Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm like, is it from the arm, the hip, the leg? Thank you.
And, you know, whenever you have a question, you can just stick up your finger.
I just like, dang.
So, but the other part when we do the bone marrow is that we have to culture them. And this is something that people don't necessarily share with you. And one of my approaches has always been, in all the things that I do, is that I'm never worried if a patient is going to have surgery with me or not. I just like to give them the objective information. I educate my patients and let them make the decision. And it's always been my practice all these years. And so I'm never worried if a patient walks away because they don't like what I have to say. Mm-hmm. And so it's enabling me to always be very objective with the information that I have. And as long as I have the right information, then I can also educate the patients correctly. And so the thing with the cultures, what does happen is that with each new cycle, if you will, with each new cell division, the cells do tend to lose their potential, their ability. So they do change a little bit. And so after many, many divisions, right, the end result of those stem cells is actually very different than what we started off with. And so there's a lot of question as to, you know, how effective are those stem cells? And so that's why it's nice to get fresh stem cells that are healthy, they have great vitality and great potential, to then also be much more effective in addressing any of the medical conditions that are out there. The ones, as I mentioned earlier, poor blood supply, immune response, whether it's scarring, whether it's inflammation or cell death, or what we also talked about, infection. So if you have the best of stem cells to work and do their magic, if you will, then that's what you want to get. And that's why liposuction really is the best way to do it.
So if a person is healthy versus being sick, or is there a difference in the stem cells? Will you still get healthy stem cells from somebody like who, say, is going through cancer or is diagnosed? Are those stem cells as healthy as if they're coming from a healthy person?
You know, that's a really good question. you know, and then it's really a matter of, you know, defining what healthy is and what isn't. In general, I think the safe thing that we could say is that if you get stem cells when you're young, they're probably more effective than when you are older. That's the only thing that I would say, because they've also gone through your own cell divisions over time, because it's not like you're born with a certain amount of stem cells and they just hang around until you suck them out, right?
That sounds like fun.
You know, so they've gone through numerous cell divisions, and so they're not going to be as effective. I don't think any kind of medical condition will necessarily affect them. I don't know of any literature that would suggest that anyhow. It's just that their function is to basically restore form and function, to rejuvenate, to regenerate. And they're not going to necessarily change in of themselves because of that environment. Their function will. I mean, their function is to address that change of environment. so that it does help, you know, with that medical condition. And so one of the questions that I always get is that, well, if we already have these stem cells, why don't they do the job anyhow? Okay. And the key is that, yes, they do, but when you have a large area of irregularities, and let's take arthritis, for example, right? Yes, you can have a few stem cells in there, but you don't have enough stem cells to make a difference. And so that's why we harvest the fat, get the stem cells out, and get a large number of stem cells so that they can overwhelm the, say, the medical condition and fix it. And that's what we see with, you know, joints especially. Yes.
So does that mean when you harvest the cells themselves and you get the healthy cells, do you just inject it to where they're having arthritis, or how do you get them back in?
No, that's a great question. So that's the next step. So once we get the stem cells out and we process them, and there's a couple of different ways that we process them, then we do one of two things. If it's joints, for example, that's a great way. What we do is we inject the joints with the stem cells. And so we inject right into the joint, or we also inject in the tissues around the joint. And we do the back as well. We can do, you know, an entire vertebral column. We can do, you know, epidural. We can do into the what we call the facet joints, which are on the side, and have great, great results with that. Because what happens is then, again, it's the inflammation, it's the poor blood supply, it's the loss of tissue. And for example, in joints, what we've seen, you know, with MRI follow-up studies is that when patients, you know, have lost a significant amount of their cartilage, and we inject the joint with their stem cells, that new cartilage has been formed. And oftentimes that cartilage is actually better than the cartilage that was there before, which is amazing. And so, you know, it's an opportunity for a lot of people who have, especially the athletes, and this is where it's amazing, where the athletes can avoid surgery. Because oftentimes what I don't like about surgery, and this is not something you'll necessarily hear from a surgeon, but the problem is, as soon as you do any kind of surgery, you totally disrupt the anatomy of the body permanently. It is forever changed. And I think most people don't really appreciate, you know, how we can actually tap into the body intelligence so that the body can fix itself. It's the same thing with using medications. And I heard this from none other than Deepak Chopra, who says, you know, the most phenomenal, best pharmacy in the world is the pharmacy in your own body. It's just understanding how your body can produce the right kinds of drugs to do the things that it needs to do. And again, that's our body intelligence. How do you tap into that? As a plastic surgeon, I take care of a lot of infections that people get from either injuries or you know, insect bites and things like that. And generally what happens is that, you know, the doctors are freaking out, and they tell me, I got to take them to surgery, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And oftentimes what I do is I treat them conservatively. Number one, the patient's a lot happier because we didn't do any surgery. But number two, the outcome is typically better. You know, as long as a patient gets better with this conservative approach, just enhancing the ability of the body to fix itself, people just do better. So it's the same thing with surgery. You know, if we can find a way, you know, like meniscus tears and cruciate ligament tears and things like that, they go in with their scopes. And truth be told, I mean, people have, you know, researched the benefits from scopes and found that oftentimes it makes no difference whether you scope them or not. And sometimes it makes it worse. Do you have a question?
When you say scope, do you mean endoscopy surgery? Is that what you're talking about? I was trying to figure out what scoping meant.
Yeah, endoscopic surgery of the joints. Now, of course, the orthopedic surgeons will not necessarily agree with that, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing some of the things that that I've heard in the past, but clearly these aren't the best options. And so when we can just do a simple non-traumatic injection with your own stem cells into a joint and at least give your body the opportunity to fix itself, I mean, wouldn't that be a better choice?
Oh my gosh, yeah, definitely. How come that's not so readily available and not used as often as it should be?
You know, that's exactly what I was thinking. It was going to be my next thing that I was going to say. And so I'm not into politics. I'm not into all these, you know, regulatory issues and you know, personal, you know, agendas and everything else. I like to go by the book. I think it's important. I mean, if there's rules out there, there's rules out there, whether I agree with them or not. the problem with the United States is that there is no regulation right now regarding stem cells. And so it's a little confusing what's allowed and what's not allowed. I was one of the first 25 surgeons in the United States to use stem cells for regenerative, you know, plastic surgery about 6-7 years ago. And so it's very exciting for me because it made a lot of sense, because all I'm doing is separating the stem cells from the fat, putting it back in the body, doing breast reconstructions, and giving women, you know, breast enhancements without implants. I mean, I had a lot of patients that said, look, I want a breast enhancement, but I don't want an implant. And I have to agree. You know, if we can do something that's as natural as possible, then absolutely. I think breast implants are great. I think it's safe. If it's done correctly, and I do a lot of them, then it's not a problem. But ideally, if you could inject fat, then it would be nice. But not everyone is a good candidate for that either. So the problem that happened, though, is that the FDA decided that it wasn't appropriate for us to do that. And so they were shutting down a lot of the clinics. And they never came to me, though, because I just saw what was happening around me. And I just stopped doing it. Aside of that, one of the best technologies in the world was no longer available in the United States because of the FDA.
Do you think the lobbyists are the ones that caused the FDA to not approve it?
I have no idea. Probably.
I figure there's somebody out there that's paying them off to make sure that doesn't happen, because it doesn't make sense to me that stem cell research isn't readily available.
Well, research is. And so there's institutional review boards that are doing different researches out there, here and there and everywhere. But then again, you know, some of that's also questionable. And again, I'm just paraphrasing what I'm hearing. I don't have any specific data to back it up. But what I'm understanding from some people that I trust is that, you know, it's like a Wild West show. A lot of people are doing a lot of different things, making a lot of different claims, and a lot of it's not right. A lot of it's not true. You know, one example, as an example, is that, you know, when we do our stem cells, and just for the listener to know, the company that I work with has chosen to develop and create, together with the country that we work with, the highest regulations for stem cell therapy. And that's in the Bahamas, actually. So it's a highly regulated environment. And why is that important? Not so much, you know, to monitor us and making sure that we're doing the right thing, because the company is already doing the right thing. You know, we're very focused on to have the highest quality results and matching the top 5% of the institutions, you know, here in the United States, medical institutions. That's the quality of the environment that we work in the Bahamas. And so anybody ever concerned about going to Bahamas, just think, you know, look at the best 5% in this country. That's what you're getting there. But more importantly, why is the regulation so important? Is so that we can substantiate all of our claims, because everything is monitored, everything is, you know, confirmed, so that any claim that we make is verified. Whereas when you go to so many other places worldwide, they make all these crazy claims, and they don't even tell you about all the things that didn't go right. Mm-hmm. And what's important to know is that one of the most important claims is how many cells you get. How many stem cells do you actually get out of the fat? And our average, you know, ranges between anywhere between 40 million and say 120 million stem cells, which is a good number.
And out of how, like how much fat did you get that many stem cells out of?
About 400 cc. And it actually ranges anywhere between 200 and 400 cc of fat that we've gotten. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of range. But what's important, though, is that a lot of people make claims like, yeah, we get 100 million, or some people even claim we get a billion cells, mm-hmm. which is not possible, by the way, because we don't even have that many cells in the body. Well, actually we do, but I mean, it's not, just not possible to have that. But they're counting fragmented cells. So a fragmented cell, which means a cell that's broken up in, say, 3 or 4 pieces or maybe 10 pieces. So now they're counting 10 pieces versus one. But the problem is that you count those 10 pieces, but it's not a real cell. So guess what? It doesn't work.
Oh.
This cell doesn't work. You have to have a live cell that actually will do the work.
How do you keep it alive?
Just the way we separate them. It's
okay.
The way that they're removed out of the body. It's a very, very gentle technique. We do what's called a water-assisted liposuction. So mm-hmm. It's like a water jet that goes out. It's a very gentle process, preserves the integrity of the cells. And then the centrifuge system that we use is also very delicate. And so the cells are pretty much intact. And we can measure that. So we actually measure every single time we measure a couple of things, you know, what the intactness of the cells, but also different kinds of markers on the cells so that we know that these are the right kinds of cells. And so we come up with a measurement as to our viability. And our typically our viability of cells is above 90%, which
oh,
is great.
Wow. That seems high. Awesome.
Yeah. And so once you get the 40 million cells, and typically we're discovering that there's not much of what we call a dose response after 40 million. So once you got that 40 million, then you're pretty much getting all the results you want. It's almost like, you know, you put the water in a bucket, right? That's 40 million right there. And anything on top just overflows. It's not going to do anything. And so what's great then is that we can do this. We can inject it into the heart muscle. So patients that, for example, have cardiac disease, so they have angina, they have congestive heart failure, they have heart attacks, you know, whatever it is, you know, we can significantly improve the function of their heart. And that's huge. And so people that basically don't have a quality of life, they can't really walk outside in their yard because they're out of breath. You know, we give them an opportunity to enhance their quality of life for the next 5 years minimum by just one set of injections into the heart. And now they can probably just walk through the mall and be totally okay with that.
And you said 5 years minimum?
Well, this is
wow,
that's what we're projecting, is that we're able to see that that the quality of life for the next 5 years is significantly enhanced. You know, remembering, of course, that any kind of medical condition can be progressive. Mm-hmm. However, using stem cells at times, either we slow that progress or totally reverse it. So there's situations where we can really make even longer term results, you know, with them. And that includes other conditions like diabetes, mm-hmm. It includes conditions like MS, multiple sclerosis, it includes conditions like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, obviously, you know, joint issues, Crohn's disease, erectile dysfunction is a big one. So there's so many different things that we can help with by simply harvesting the fat, taking the stem cells out, re-injecting them into the body, and totally changing somebody's life.
Is there an age limit that you will to a person that you'll do that for?
I mean, well, I think the youngest we would consider would be teenagers. The oldest, not really. You know, I think if the conditions merit it, if we believe that the stem cells will actually help a client, then we'll do that. It doesn't always work. I mean, just being perfectly honest and transparent about it, you know, it's not something that we can at this time, you know, totally predict, because, you know, not many people are doing the kind of work that we're doing. Yes, you have places in Mexico and Panama, and again, I just caution people to consider, you know, these institutions and how credible they are. I mean, I don't have any judgment on them. Mm-hmm. I just know that the institution that we work with is just highly qualified and very much verified, because again, they have this vision to be the global leader in the future. And so what does that require? requires a lot of funding, requires the right approach, requires the right technology. And we're using technology that no one else is using either, or at least combinations of that. And some countries are just very limited in what they can do. And that's basically because of, you know, the government requirements for research. So research is very limited. I think here in the United States, people are doing it for cardiac disease, which is great. I think in Texas and a couple of other heart institutes, they're doing that. But then again, a lot of individual doctors are making all sorts of claims that they're part of this institutional review and they're doing all these things. And, you know, it's not properly vetted. And so you've got to be really, really careful. So, again, anybody who wants more information, all they have to do is, you know, go to my website, drradomek.com, call me up. Happy to, you know, talk to them. Because it really is a magical experience. It's so exciting. I mean, I see also very high-profile people there coming. And it's so much fun just to help people get what I call a new lease on life. You know, there's people that are just so limited in so many different ways that, you know, if you can reverse a debilitating condition, I mean, just take Parkinson's, for example, mm-hmm. and to change that around, I mean, it's a lot of fun to see these people.
So I bet you had the most rewarding job ever.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of jealous.
Well, you know, I've been very lucky over the years in so many respects because I grew up in 5 different countries, speak 4 different languages, and, mm-hmm. and it just allowed me just to have a very different perspective on things. And so my passion, my desire is just to help people, but to help people in a big way. And so that's always been my focus, whether it's in plastic surgery, whether it's as a professional life coach, you know, whether it's stem cells, which is the cutting edge. And I'm always that guy that is looking forward, but I'm also that guy that's really wanting to make all these different connections. Because like I was trying to share earlier on, is you can't just stick with one thing. I mean, as a coach, you know, I need to help my clients with so much more. I need to help them get a personal trainer. I need to help them get a nutritionist. You know, I need to help them get the right kind of doctor, and that's going to help them with the right kind of supplements and other things. Because it's not just, again, not one single point entry. Same thing with your modeling. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many parts to you, beautiful Wendy, right? You know, there's so many beautiful parts and essences to you. And then if you're really looking to enjoy your life to the fullest, and you really want to get all of that together. And that's my platform. That's the platform for Prescription for Transformation, hashtag real people, hashtag real conversations. And just bringing all that together so that people can start making better choices, you know, whole choices, if you will, you know, for their own lives.
I love it. You are making a difference. I've actually learned a lot from you. It's been amazing.
Well, thank you. So somehow we need to figure out how to get live streaming on board again.
Yes.
So you mentioned that. Well, we're going to do that. Are we going to try to do that next time? Actually, next week. Yeah, I think I'll be in the airport, so we can probably still do that.
Okay, that'll be fun.
That'll be fun.
Whenever you're in the airport, it's actually quite funny because, like, you have like no control over what's going on, but you still keep going and you're such a trooper and I love it.
Well, I got you to hang out with, so I mean, I ain't complaining.
We make a good team.
Right, we totally do. So, but yeah, let's maybe we can try live streaming next time.
Okay.
Is that for you?
Yeah, I'll keep researching and I always have my camera ready, so you have to stare at my mug. It'll be fun.
So, but we're going to do it on Facebook, right? So we're going to try to do it on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm trying to see, figure out how we can do that. So, oh, we'll figure it out.
Give me a call tomorrow or something like that.
Okay.
And so this is it, right?
Yeah.
All right. So thank you so much for letting me, you know, talk about stem cells. And anybody listening in, please reach out, drradomaker.com. I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, Prescription for Your Transformation, hashtag real people, hashtag real conversations, and I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Join Dr. Bart Rademacher live right here on Radio Star Worldwide each week or on demand 24/7.